at the jail that night. Still Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust Him, come what may. God wants to hear you sing
when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts around you, when despair is all you see.
God wants to hear your voice
when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstances as hopeless as can be.
God wants to hear you sing under every circumstance, and we'll hear the rest of that a little later. But God wants to hear you sing. He wants you singing in the nighttime. I love singing. We've done something new here at our school. Our children come to their from their classrooms into the sanctuary on chapel morning singing. And it is so beautiful. It really is so beautiful. And I tell you one thing, I love it. Well, we got a great broadcast today. Telecast also for the internet watchers. We are excited about the program. And I want you to listen now, because you need to call your friends and you need to call everybody you know. God's sovereign grace. God's sovereign grace. That word sovereign is a big word in religious circles today. But it almost always means limited atonement. Only certain people can be saved. That's not sovereign grace. I'm going to tell you today what sovereign grace is. I've got a whole list of things here in this wonderful article I'm going to give you. All you've got to do is call God's wonderful sovereign grace. And it's beautiful. This is what every preacher really needs to read, and every Christian needs to read, and every Sunday school teacher needs to get in the middle of it, because it really is good. Now, listen to me. Listen to me dearly. You are important to me, very important to me, and I come to you in the name of the Lord to bring you truth that will hopefully change your life. Now, let me tell you what I want to do first. I want to go to the Bible. I want to go to the Word of God and read you something in the book of Matthew 24, because God's sovereign grace has to do with you being saved. But it has to do with more than you being saved. It has to do with you being delivered. See, saved and delivered are two different words in the Bible, and sometimes they can be used to mean the same thing. But the delivered I'm talking about is the rapture of those saved people. The rapture of those saints of God, when we are caught up to meet Jesus in the air. So two things in sovereign grace, God's sovereign grace, that we're going to deal with today. One is His grace to save your soul, to make a new creature out of you, to make a new person out of you. Number two, it is God's grace to deliver you. When the darkness comes of the Antichrist period and the great judgment of this world and its filth and sin, God's going to deliver His saints. God's going to deliver His saints. Let me read to you the book of Matthew 24, always one of those great chapters of the Holy Bible. I love to read the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Listen to that. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven. Jesus said it, but my Father only. But my Father only. Have you got that? But my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the other shall be, one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, I'm here to tell you, nobody can tell you when that rapture is going to take place. Nobody can pinpoint the date, the time. Only the Father knows. That's what Jesus said. But he said, watch, that you may be counted worthy to escape those things which shall come upon the earth, to stand before the throne of God. Now, Luke said that in chapter 21. Now, friend, we're on a deep subject today, and it's wonderful. God's sovereign grace. Can I look at every one of you that are listening to me or watching me and tell you something? Listen to me. God doesn't want you to be lost. God doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. God doesn't please that nobody be unsaved. It is not God willing for anybody to perish. And he says that clearly in his Bible. God doesn't will for any person to perish. If you're about to go to hell, I'm here to tell you, friend, you don't have to. And you can turn around and you can change directions. And if you think you won't pick the hour down the road when maybe you feel more like it and you don't want to love the world any longer, you don't want to do your own thing any longer, believe me, friend, you're playing with fire. You are playing with fire because you don't know what hour you're going to be out of here. You really don't. Now, God's sovereign grace. I want to give you, and these are powerful things. They're in the article that you'll get if you call and order it, 704-391-0588. And the toll-free 1-800-338-7884. Email is jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. I want an abundance of calls today, and I pray a great number of emails because I want the time to be used talking about God's sovereign grace. I love it. God's sovereign grace. Now, let me give you 10 things that I've written in this article that describe for you God's sovereign grace. It means your good works do not save you. It means your good works do not save you. Do you hear me? I don't care how good you are and how much work you do and how much money you give. I don't care how much of things you are just wonderful in doing. God, your good works do not save you. It means whosoever will can come to the cross and be wonderfully transformed. It means whosoever will can come to the cross and be wonderfully transformed. It forever destroys the thought that surrender to a religious system has any power at all for God's kingdom. You're part of some religious institution, some mainline church, some old-fashioned church even. It don't matter. Being part of a religious system doesn't save you. No. Now listen to me. It means predestination. I love that word. Predestination. It means that it's, in fact, it's one of the most powerful words in Apostle Paul's writings. And it actually means that God has written your biography in advance. God already has a plan for you, and it's bigger and better than any plan you could ever make for yourself. Do you understand that? God has a plan for you, every one of you out there. God has a plan for you, and it's wonderful. You rebel against it, you don't do it. Not only will you be lost, but your life's probably going to be miserable. Who knows what all is going to happen to you as you do your own thing and reject the will and plan that God has for you. I'm begging you, don't reject it another day. It means God's plan for every human being on earth, that he has paid the price for them to be saved. That's what sovereign grace means. God has planned it so nobody is left out. Sovereign grace covers every living soul on the face of this earth. You can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not saved without the blood. You're not saved without being born again. You're not saved without coming to Him for His new life. It is a wondrous life, but you've got to accept it and you've got to want it. It means the only saving grace in the world is the blood of Jesus Christ spilled on the cross. That's what sovereign grace means. It's sovereign. It only has one path. It's the blood, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. You join the church and you can be lost forever. You be baptized, you can still be lost forever. You go to church every service and you can still be lost forever. You got to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it means His blood is divine. And His blood is sovereign. And the Holy Ghost can take that blood and wash anybody that will come to Him. It's available to all and everyone. It means that God has planned no one to spend eternity in a devil's hell. How could sovereign grace leave somebody lost? How could sovereign grace leave somebody out of the picture? How could sovereign grace leave somebody with no interest from God in them? Not possible. It means you have a moral compass. Listen to this. Sovereign grace means there's something inside of every one of us that is called a moral compass, a conscience. We know right and wrong. You know, the worst sinner in town can go and get a lie detector test and they can tell if he's lying. Why is that? Because we have a moral compass built into us. That's part of sovereign grace that you can't get by. You know what right and wrong is. You may not do it, but you know when you're an old sinner. I've never talked to a sinner yet that wouldn't it. Well, I've talked to some who think they're Christians and are not. And you know, you could tell by their lifestyle. But everybody has a sense of conscience. They know who they are. And it means God knows your fingerprints. He knows your DNA, even to every string of your hair. He knows the iris of your eye. It's totally distinct from anybody else on the face of this earth. Everybody knows your thoughts are far off. How could God have that kind of conscience of you and then you not have the right to come to Him and be saved? It's not possible. Everything in this universe speaks of God's sovereign grace to save you and to make a new creature out of you. Oh, what a picture. God's sovereign grace. Now you need those in your hand, put in your Bible. It'll be in a booklet where you can put it in your Bible and you can have it and dig through it and study it and learn and grow in the Lord. That's what I want for every last one of you. Now remember, two shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. And put it in today's terms, two shall be in the church, sitting on a pew side by side, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be working at an office, maybe across the hall from one another, and suddenly one's gone, but the other's left. Two men may be riding an airplane, or two pilots may be flying an airplane, and one can be taken and the other left. Now, grab your phone. I want to hear from you. You are very, very important to me. And the lines are open now, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from you. I want questions ago. I want to hear from everybody out there. I want us to have a great discussion together. Do you hear me? I want us to have a great discussion together. Now, I'm getting my email up here so I can get you on the line, and I want your questions. I want any question that's on your mind or on your heart, and I will do my best to answer it. And we'll talk about two things now, saving grace in the sovereign work of God and delivering grace in the sovereign work of God. Saving grace in the sovereign work of God and delivering grace in the sovereign work of God. Now that's just good stuff to talk about. And I want you, the lines are open. All you got to do now is pick up your phone and call me, and I will do my best to talk with you and answer your question. 1-800-338-7884. Did you hear that? 1-800-338-7884. The toll free 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want abundance of questions. I want to talk about this sovereign grace. I want us to talk about how Jesus wants to change your life. And within that change that he wants to work in you, you become one of his. The Bible said that everything that happens in your life when you love God and you do your will is within the perfect framework of God's plan and God's design and God's desire for you. He really does care about you, my friend. He really does care about your life and your needs. So grab your phone and ask me any question you want to ask me on this wonderful and powerful subject. Now, the idea of God's grace that will deliver us from wrath to come, That's that glorious rapture. Tomorrow morning, I'm preaching a sermon that I've got the notes here in front of me. The supernatural rapture. The supernatural rapture. You talk about a sermon you really ought to hear. You really ought to hear this. If you could know how much supernatural activity from God, from the Father, and by the Father, and by the great Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. If you could know how much supernatural activity will go into this rapture that's about to happen, it is really a thrilling thing. Now, I don't know whether you've been looking around yourself lately and reading the newspaper and knowing what's going on, but it's a really mess out of there. I am so amazed at the things I read. This week, the New York State passed a rule that a baby can be poisoned and kill a full-term child in mother's womb, ready to be born, that the abortionist can inject that baby with poison and kill the baby within the womb so it can then be aborted dead. Can you believe something like that could be passed in New York City? New York State. I mean, that's just plain overwhelming that you can poison a baby in the mother's womb, a full-term child. All he likes being a person that we would protect with the full extent of the law. I mean, if you murder a little baby, you're in for it, friend. I mean, this whole world cares about that. But the people that's there, yes, that aborting those babies, how on the face of this earth could something like this happen? I don't understand. And then I was watching the news, and was a program that was talking about genetic altering of the human DNA. And now some scientists have learned how to create some sperm cells through test, through artificial work, and inject it in mice and cause that mice to have to have babies, baby mice. Well, they say now that they're going to be able to help a woman have a child without any involvement of man. No sperm cell from man, but it would be altogether a superficial sperm cell. What would be born of that kind of effort at life? What would be the result? How about this? I was listening to that, and there was a young man, I think he was just cutting up. I think he was putting on a show. He said, "Well, I want a boy that's half boy and half dog." I mean, I heard those words on news this week myself. I want a baby that's half boy and half dog. I think he was cutting up. But I know one thing, it would take a very messed up brain to even think of something like that. Well, you on the air, may I help you, please?
Yeah, I've got a question to state, if you don't mind. In Matthew chapter 24, 23, 22,
Hey, you are on a cell phone, and you're breaking up because your signal is not good, and I will not be able to handle that kind of a call, okay? I don't take any calls on cell phones or restricted calls. Ladies, please help me with that. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. I listen to your open dialogue. I agree with everything you say. But I've got one question for you.
You what now?
Yes, I hope heard your open dialogue there.
Yes, I heard that. Go ahead.
I've got one question for you. I'm very disconcerned that you a couple weeks ago and Robert Jeffers and Jerry Falwell are saying that y'all kind of support Donald Trump when the man said he has never done anything in his life that he feels a need to ask God forgiveness for. He cannot be saved.
Well, you know, I'm not endorsing nobody. I haven't endorsed anybody. I've said a few of the good things he says. I've said some good things others have said. So I'm sorry. But we're not electing. I mean, tell me who you could vote for out there. There's not one of them that has shown any degree of being old-fashioned Bible-believing Christians. Even Ted Cruz. I read something he said this morning that was a total lie. I mean, I knew it was a lie the moment I saw it. So, you know, I don't know. We're not electing a preacher. We're electing a president. And I want a man that will stand for the Constitution and a man that will try to defend Christians. And I like what I heard Ted Cruz say on several occasions. I'm sorry, I've heard some good things Ted Cruz said, by the way, too. But I've heard Donald Trump say some good things. I heard him say he was going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv in Israel to Jerusalem, where it was supposed to be. I love that. That's been a possible for years, and the presidents haven't done it. It was passed maybe 30 years ago by the Congress. So, you know, you're dealing with something that I'm not going to, you know, spend my time on the radio arguing about who ought to be, someone ought to vote for. It's too far down the road. I promise you this, whoever gets the Republican nomination will get my vote against Hillary Clinton.
Well, I agree with 100% on that.
Okay, then, why don't we wait on the rest of it, and let's see what happens.
Well, I want to make the people... the Bible says, by your own mouth you will be condemned, by your own mouth you will be justified. A man cannot be a born-again Christian and say, I have never repented.
I don't think there's anything to suggest that Donald Trump is a born-again fundamental Christian.
Well,
I've not seen anything to suggest that.
Well,
now, I'm not criticizing him. I know what a fundamental Christian is. I know how they live, and I don't perceive him as a fundamental Christian.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Trevor.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Now, may I say to all of my audience, let's don't spend any more time with that. Let's talk about God's sovereign grace. Let's talk about God's sovereign grace. Now, no, ladies, don't take any restricted calls, and don't take any cell calls. Tell them if they'll give you a number, you'll call them back and then put them on with me, because you get some very dubious people when you take restricted calls or cell calls that don't give a number. As long as you got a number, that's fine. We'll take your call. But if you don't have a number, we're not going to take your call, because right now our Time Warner is trying to clean up some of the situation we've had for weeks on end with people disrupting our program, disrupting some of our equipment. I don't know how they're doing all of that, but we've had some people really trying to make a mess for us. We've been able to continue, and thank God for that. And because of it, no restricted calls and no calls from someone that there's no phone number on the screen in front of you. But you can take their name and their number, their phone number, and then call them and put them on. That's fair enough, isn't it, to everybody out there? Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. You know, this election and all this campaigning has been absolutely, it seems like we must be a third world country. I've never seen such evil. I've never seen such backbiting, back stomping. I never seen nothing like that. I don't like it. I don't think a one of them out there really deserve our vote. I really don't. I don't think there's one of them out there that deserve our vote. But we got to vote for somebody. And so we have to vote for the best person. Whoever wins that Republican nomination, they're going to get my vote. That's all I know. And they may not be anything close to what I'd like, but they can at least be somebody to stand against this juggernaut of Obama and Hillary Clinton. I can promise you that. And that is extremely important. Now, let's see if I got any calls. Here's a poll resulting. Let me see if that's something. No, that's not part of it. Questions and answers. Questions on email. I'm waiting for you. JRC@paulcreek.org. JRC@paulcreek.org. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do in church tomorrow night for service. We're going to have a wonderful service. We're going to have four speakers. I don't mean long speakers. They'll be limited about 8 or 10 minutes. And we're going to talk about how imminent, how absolutely imminent the rapture is. And we're going to take the Bible and try to show our congregation and everybody that wants to come and be part of this how imminent the return of Jesus Christ is. And I don't think there's any question when we finish, you will know he could come at any moment. At any moment. I'm looking for him to come. Let's take a call here. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, I enjoy hearing you talking about the supernatural rapture, because this morning I was sitting in my bed, and all of a sudden I felt my head and my shoulders lift up off my pillow, and I know I didn't do it. So I know my husband expects the supernatural rapture every day. We look forward to it every day. And we're so excited. My parents are, and we just enjoy your show, and I try to listen to it every Saturday.
I am so grateful, dear lady. Thank you. You know, Jesus is really coming, and I'm looking for him any minute.
Oh, yes, we are, too. We are so excited. We look forward to it every day.
All right. Thank you for listening to our program. Oh, do you live in some other city?
I live in St. Paul's, North Carolina.
Okay. Please come see us sometime.
Okay, thank you.
We'd love it. God bless you. Bye-bye. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, James? Yes, calling in, and I appreciate that.
You know, for some reason, my calls seem to be befuzzled today, and I don't know what it is, but go ahead. Let me see if I can hear you.
Okay. I listen to you quite often, and I enjoy your taking the word of God.
I'm befuzzled because I don't know what could be wrong that my calls are not coming through clear today. We have had one little problem after the other, and a lot of it is coming from somebody who's interrupting our electrical broadcast and telecasting on Saturday. We don't know what it is, but try again and say it real slow. Go ahead now. I'm waiting. Can you go ahead? Are you there, sir? So I'm waiting on you. Are you there? All right, I'm sorry. Please call back. Please call back. For some reason, I'm not hearing the calls good today. I'm very sorry for that. It seems like something has to go wrong on a regular basis, and we're trying to get them all solved because this program is so dynamite, and we're reaching so many. You on the air, may I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? All right. You are on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Well, please, ladies, have them call again. I am not aware of what might be wrong, but today the whole signal coming into my ears is so distorted. Time Warner told me they were having some tremendous problems in this area. It affects both telephone and it affects, of course, the internet. And they're trying their best to get it solved, but it's very evident today that it's not clear at all. But please don't quit calling and send some emails, okay? I want to hear from you right now. You can send an email, and I promise you I can read that. But keep calling, because it may clear up. We're doing our best to clear it up. I'm checking everything in my office. I don't know one thing that I can change in my office. It should be good, but it's not. So give me a call. I'm waiting on you. We're talking about God's sovereign grace. God's sovereign grace. And, of course, God's grace doesn't just save us. See, God isn't interested in just making me a Christian and saving my soul. He's very interested in that. But he's interested in delivering me from the darkness and the judgment to come. And this world is right on the verge of the darkest period of judgment that has ever occurred. I'm here to tell you, it is going to get darker. It is going to get darker. Now grab your phones. We want to keep trying to take the calls and get them straightened out. So you grab your phone. I've missed two or three that I couldn't hear. Call back, and maybe it's a line from something else. I'm not sure. But grab your phone and call me quickly. Very, very important. You are very important to me. Hey, Jesus is coming. Do you understand? Jesus is coming, and he's coming any moment. I don't know the moment, but I know the coming of the Lord is at the door. I know that. I know that he could come any moment, any day. He could come in all of his grace and holiness. I'm looking for him. I'm loving him, and I'm watching for him. Now, I'm preaching in the morning on the supernatural rapture. The supernatural rapture. Have you lately really studied your Bible to see what that Bible says about the rapture and what is fixing to occur? Do you understand how grand that event is going to be? Hey, I'm waiting on all of you that called and couldn't get through to call back, and we're going to try again. Okay, grab your phone quickly. Please do not ignore this, because it's too important that your answers be given to you and that we get the truth into your mind and your hearts and help you, because if we can be a blessing to you, we will be happy. I promise you, we will be happy and we will bless you to the best of our ability. The coming of the Lord is at the door. And the sovereign grace of God right now is able to save any one of you out there who realizes you are lost. You realize you're a church member, but you've never had a personal experience. You've never been born again to where you became a new creature in Christ, a brand new person, and you want to be. Then I'm here to tell you, Jesus promises you, if you come to him, he will not turn you away. He will save you. He will make a new creature out of you. He will change your life, and you will never be the same. Now, while you are calling, I'm going to turn to the book of 1 Peter. The Bible is so full of great scriptures that warn us how near the coming of the Lord is. And I want you to listen to this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. See, you're not going to know when this is about to happen. You're not going to know when this is about to occur. It's going to happen suddenly. No warning, no report on television, no news print, nothing. Just suddenly, the heavens will explode with excitement, and the trumpet of God will sound, and it will be a grandest moment you can imagine. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. Now, this is something that people do not understand. I don't know that I understand exactly how it's going to happen, but I do know it's going to happen. The Bible says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise the Lord. Well, we got a call here. I pray that this one will be good. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir.
I cannot understand a thing you're saying. Will you try again? I have never, folks, sir, I'm very sorry. Let me tell everybody what's going on. Now, for 10 or 11 weeks now, we've had somebody interrupting the signals into our church. It only happens during this broadcast on Saturday. It never happens during the week. It never happens at no other time. It has interrupted several different things, and this is the first time it's actually interrupted my hearing. I was on the phone before the broadcast started. It was perfect. Now I'm on the phones, and I can't hear anything you are saying. Nothing. I can hear nothing you are saying. Now, would you try again, sir? No way. I can't hear nothing you're saying. And it was perfect before the program. Now, what somebody is doing, and we don't know how, We don't know how they're doing it, but as soon as the program's over, we'll call Time Warner again and tell them to either get this mess straight or we've got to turn somewhere. Because somebody is interrupting. Somebody's turning the signal. The computers in the other rooms will actually freeze up on the ladies who are watching them and answering the phone. The telephones freeze up. Different things happen. I've never experienced nothing like it in my life. I really haven't. And all I can tell you is it is frustrating to no end to us. Now, you keep calling, and I'll keep trying to answer. And it may clear up. I cannot answer that. One week, the whole telephone screen went out on me. The computer screens have gone out 5, 6, 7 times now on different Saturdays. Every kind of thing you can imagine. It never happens but on Saturday when we're telecasting or broadcasting. So we really don't know, except we got a bad enemy out there somewhere. And they have somehow figured out how to interrupt into our stream of communicating and receiving communications. And all we can say is we'll do our best. And in the meantime, I've got some questions here on the internet, and I will answer them. So email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. JRC, I'm looking forward to what Isaiah 9:6 says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Hey, listen to that. I'm looking forward to what Isaiah 9:6, if you've ever read that, where it says that upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ would be the government. Let me turn to that. That's just too good and too rich not to read on this screen, on this program, okay? 9:6. Now, you'll be praying for us. All right, I'll take it a minute, darling. You'll be praying for us with this problem. I've got a call that I'm going to try. But whether I can get it or not, I know what I'll do. I'll take that first and see what happens, and then I will answer that question. Are you on the air? May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Tell us, Ted Cruz is a Christian.
Will you try to say that real slow?
If Ted Cruz is a Christian.
Do I know if Cruz is a Christian?
Yeah.
I do not know at all. He is a charismatic, a connected. His daddy preaches postmillennialism, which is a very dangerous doctrine. I don't know that Ted believes it. I know that as I read the notes about him, people like Kenneth Copeland endorsed him and prayed over him. And some of them even prophesied that he would be the next president within the charismatic circles. So I know there's some very dangerous stuff in his background. But whether or not he's a born-again Christian, I have no idea.
Okay,
I can't hear you, really. I finally got that by the way you said it, and it's almost impossible. But I did my best that time and didn't hear it, actually. But I was able to figure out what you were saying by just my sheer effort. And I thank you for calling. Now, let me go to Isaiah 9:6. You keep calling. I'll keep trying. I can tell you that finally they have interrupted the sound system, the telephone system, and they've tried everything else, and they have interrupted different things. Every Saturday, something gets interrupted electronically. Electronically, do you understand? Something we don't know how to describe, and something that just frustrates us to death. And we've called Time Warner. They are trying their best to find out what's wrong. They found a home in the area that was somehow connected wrongly and was interfacing with our program. We don't know whether that was intentional. We don't really know what's out there. But we know that by the grace of God, it will get solved. Now, 9:6 of Isaiah. Boy, this is great. Listen to it. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The government shall be upon his shoulder. See, Jesus is going to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. That's the thing I've been concerned about with Ted Cruz, is his daddy preaches postmillennialism. They call it dominion theology. It's as false as it can be. So we're really up the creek when you are looking for an old-fashioned Bible person to vote for, because I don't think there's one out there that's an old-fashioned Bible person. I'm not putting them down. I'm not saying they aren't good people. I'm not saying they might not be saved and I don't know anything about it. That I'm not saying. That's all in God's hands. I'm just telling you, it's a rough situation, and all we can do is our best. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I'm asking another question.
You want to ask me another question?
Yeah. What the Bible says.
Well, wait a minute. You're on an unreliable phone call, and you cannot call. Okay, you're the same man that keeps interrupting. I'm not sure you're not the problem, but I'm hanging up on you. Okay, you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, this man called a little earlier. Said you can hear on the cell phone. I got a question for you out of 24, where the Lord talks about in verses 20 through 22 about the Great Tribulation. It's obvious there that saying we shall be, the church will be during that Great Tribulation.
Now, you're calling me from one of the radio stations, but I do not understand what you're saying. We've been interrupted for weeks, and this is the first time they've actually been able to mess up my phone messages.
I'm not trying to mess up the phone messages.
And I didn't think you were. You're calling from one of the radio stations.
You don't have an answer for me, but you're going.
Out of what?
No, I challenge you to be on there to see the rest.
You know, I don't understand a word that gentleman is saying, and I'm very sorry for that. We've never had this before. My dear friends all over the world, listen to me. You're getting the message from me. The phone calls are not possible to take because they've been so interrupted by some kind of strange thing that you cannot understand them. I don't understand a word they're saying. I don't presume you do. I don't know, maybe you do, and I can't understand them. I don't know that that's not true. All I know is I can't understand them. I can finally make out a few words, but it's not possible. So so send me your messages or questions on the internet, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, you can call the ladies, and if you can talk to them, and you can order this wonderful material, okay, it only may be coming into my office where the problem is. Because whatever it is, it always spotlights some area and messes up different areas on different weeks. And we have no idea what is doing it, and we have no idea who is causing it. We know it only happens on Saturday during this hour. It never happens at any other times. And I'm grateful because that means we're really doing some good. We're really getting the message out. And the enemy is doing everything he can to stop us, but he's not going to succeed. I promise you, I'm a very, very dedicated man, and we will find the answer. Now, we're going to go to the internet. You keep sending your questions, okay? Here's someone else about voting. The 25% of Christians that did not vote in 2012 needs to be constantly encouraged to vote in 2016. Boy, do I believe in that. Every Christian needs to vote. You need to make sure you vote for somebody who has at least a moral compass, who has a moral compass of some kind, who are really talking about the right things, protecting the Constitution, protecting Christians. That's another thing I've heard Donald Trump say, is he is going to protect the Christians that are now being persecuted all over the world. He's going to protect them. The present president has absolutely protected only Muslims. Only Muslims, and everybody out there knows that. I think you know that by now. If not, you should. Now, Christians in Charlotte need to get out and vote. We've got a very liberal outfit in Charlotte. Lady who's our mayor and most of the councilmen are so liberal, it's overwhelming. I am praying about running for mayor myself. I really am. I'm seriously praying. I'm seriously considering, because we've got an enemy that's determined to destroy anything that has to do with God in this country. I mean, we have got an onslaught against Christianity that is overwhelming, and you have got to vote. You have got to vote, especially after the lesbians and the gays and the bisexuals and the transgender, the victory they had in Charlotte last Monday night. Every bathroom in Charlotte, every public bathroom is now open to a transgender to go into that bathroom and embarrass the ladies or the men. In case it's a lesbian woman wanting to go in the men's bathroom, they won't do it here. And if I'm in a store and my wife's in the bathroom and a man goes in there and calls himself transgender, I am going to go in there and throw him out. I am personally going to go in and throw him out. Now, you understand that. I mean that. I may go to jail, but I will do that as sure as I'm sitting here. And I'm asking every man in Charlotte, be a man. Be a man. And stand up for what is right. All right, very important. We must learn to vote in this city, okay? We must learn to vote. Another question, very important. Can you please speak regarding Ephesians 1, 13 through 14? Yes, I can. Ephesians 1, verses 13 through 14. Let's go to that, please. You know, the Bible is so wonderful. Are you enjoying your Bible? I leave for Turkey this week, where I'm studying the life of Apostle Paul, and I will be writing a book on the life of Apostle Paul, and I'm believing it's going to be great. I really am. Ephesians 1, verses 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Here we go. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. All right. In whom you also trusted after that you heard. Listen to this now. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now that's a big scripture that would take a whole sermon to describe it all. And this person says, can you please speak regarding Ephesians 1, 13, 14, especially regarding sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The moment a person is saved, they are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And nothing can break that seal but willful transgression and willful disobedience. You are sealed. You are protected. You live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You pray every day. You stay close to God, and you can't backslide. If you stay close to God, you can't backslide. You got to break that seal. You got to drive away this divine assurance of the Holy Spirit that works in your life to hold you on the right course. But if you sin, if you willfully turn from God, then you can break that. But you cannot break it without willful transgression against the laws of God. And it's hard to think of those possibilities, but they are as true as they can be, okay? A wonderful truth, wonderful truth. Let me read that first verse again. He says, in whom you also were sealed, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I've always told people, there's no way for Joe Chambers to backslide, because I'm determined to hold out to the end. See, I believe in limited, let me say it right now. I believe in biblical eternal security. Biblical eternal security. Not the kind you can go and do like you please and live like you please, but the kind that by the grace of God you live for Christ, you stay in prayer, you live in the Word, the grace of God will keep you. The grace of God will enable you to overcome. I've always said this. I love this saying. He who is on fire for God or with God is too hot for the devil to handle. He that is on fire for God is too hot for the devil to handle. Well, let's take another call here. Here is a call about tongues. All right, let's see what they ask. If God knew and speak all languages, why should I pray in tongues? What advantage is it for me? Good question. If God speaks all languages, why should I pray in tongues? Because when you pray in tongues, you are not praying in a known language. When you pray in tongues, you're praying in an unknown language. You're praying in the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, and the Trinity has a language. They have a language. They communicate with each other. They are in perfect harmony together. And the Bible says, let me not just give you my opinion here. Let's go to the Bible and let God's Word answer that great question. Listen to it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. My fingers here have got a little damp, but I'll find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. God's Word is so powerful. Listen to this now. Will you please listen very carefully? Wow, my pages are sticking. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. How about that? That's the word of God. That's the words of Apostle Paul, that great writer that I'm going to go and study the life of this very week. What a statement. What a beautiful statement. How exciting that is. Absolutely exciting. Now, if the ladies can hear you, and I presume maybe they can, and the problem is all together here in my office because they've been able to target certain areas and just mess up something. One week it was my phone. This is the second time it's been my phone. The only time, though, that the calls are so distorted that you cannot hear nothing. Maybe you can hear out there. Maybe they can hear. I don't know. But I can't hear. And I know that I could hear before I started the broadcast. I could hear before I started the broadcast. So pray for the Time Warner people to find the problem and to get it cleared up, because it is a pain. It is really giving us a battle, a war. And you pray for us. And don't forget us. I've been on a effort for several weeks now to get 100 people to send me $1,000 to pay off all the debt of this place. If you have not been willing to do that, I pray maybe today you'll understand. I probably need to hire somebody who is an expert beyond me to come in here and go through this system and test it. Check it and find out what's wrong. Here's a call. If you go on the internet, you will see Kenneth Copeland praying and laying hands on Donald Trump, not Cruz. I'm sorry, but the one I saw was Cruz, okay? The one I saw was Cruz. So I think you're wrong, but I cannot answer. But you send that to me, okay? Anything you send to me, I will then have the proof of it. But you need to send it, because I'm telling you the truth. I'm not here to argue about who you vote for. I'm not. I promise you I'm not. I'm here just to do my best. We can understand you, but not the caller. So it's not just your ears. So you can understand me, but not the callers. That means whatever the distortion is, it's going into the system, and you can understand me, but not the callers. Thank you, sir. That helps me to know what the problem is. Not what the problem is, but where the problem is. And I'm very sorry. We've had one call after the other. This would have been one of the most answered calls or telephone called program we've had in a long time, but because it's a good program. But something is wrong. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Can you understand me, Mr. Chambers?
I understood you a little bit there. Do you understand me, Mr. Chambers, is what you said?
Yeah, that's right. I got a question for you concerning rapture.
Now, see, you're breaking down now, so say it real clear again.
I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Concerning the tribulation.
Concerning the tribulation.
Right.
Okay, go ahead with it.
Matthew 24, verses 20 through 22, Jesus tells us that we should be here during the great tribulation.
All right, say that again now. Let me see if I can hear it again. I didn't get but part of it. Matthew 24 says something.
Matthew chapter 24.
I'm hearing you a little better than I've been hearing.
Matthew chapter 24.
Go ahead.
Verses 20.
Verse 20.
Verse 22.
All right, verse 20. Let me get this. Oh, brother. My phone, my Bible, my new Bible is tearing on me, trying to move too fast here. Verse 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. All right, what is your question?
If you read that in context, Jesus is telling us the church shall be here during that tribulation.
So you think the church will be here during the tribulation?
That's what Jesus said.
No, he didn't say that.
Yes, he did. Read it in context.
Sir, I'm sorry, but you couldn't be more wrong. I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. There is no question that the rapture is pre-tribulational. I can take you to Matthew 3:10, where he said, if you keep the word of my patience, I will keep you from.
Jesus said right there that we will be here in context.
Well, you are wrong, my dear friend. I'm sorry. You know, there's a lot of people out there that hate the pre-trib rapture. They hate it with a passion, an incredible passion. I am amazed at it, but they are wrong. And that's really what this war against us has been about. Every person that's been part of that has in some way, somehow, been able to keep getting through. And they do it different ways. And they always come against the rapture. They hate the rapture before the tribulation. But they couldn't be more wrong. I have written so much material about the rapture before the tribulation. I've studied this Bible. I've searched scripture after scripture. And it's plain that the saints are not going to be here. I mean, let me take you to the book of Luke. I am amazed at this one. You could tell that man was getting a little bit animated. I wish I could have understood him and tried to debate with him and help him. Listen to this. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day comes upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. How many of you want to escape all these things that shall come to pass? How many know that the tribulation is the darkest 7 years of human history? And you can escape it. You can escape it. Oh, what a day that's going to be when we escape that great coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in His grace and in His glory. Now, let me see if there's any other here. You know what we're having now, so you're going to be praying, and I know that. I don't think there'll be one of you. Jesus, just talk about Jesus. If you want to anger the enemy, talk about Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, this is somebody standing with me. I'm looking forward to what Isaiah 9:6 says. Oh, that's going to be a great day. Hey, this, you have heard some wonderful truth. Now, I want to send you this booklet. Apparently, they can hear you in there. Apparently, it's only the voices have somehow become distorted coming in here every week for 10 weeks, 11 weeks. It's been something different that's been messed up. So somebody's getting a signal in that's making a mess out of our programs. Trying to, at least. And we just keep on. Hallelujah. You're not going to stop us. We're here for the glory of God. Now, this booklet is a booklet about God's sovereign grace. He will save anybody out there. Anybody. Nobody lost. He'll save anybody that will let Him save them. Now, you got to be willing. All you got to do is repent of your sins, trust the blood of Jesus, and turn to Him with your whole heart. And believe on Him. Oh, believe on Him. You got to trust Jesus, repent of your sins, turn to Him with your old heart. Trust Him to save you. You can't save yourself. You can't save yourself, but He will save you. He'll make a new creature out of you. He'll turn your life upside down, and you'll never be the same. Now, I want to tell you, I need 100 people that will give me a $1,000 gift. I need that within the next month. And so I'm going to be saying that every week, over and over and over, I need 100 people who will give $1,000. Just got an email from Australia. Australia wanting to give me $1,000 that came in right before the program today. Isn't that beautiful? Australia giving $1,000 because they love the program. We've got people in all parts of this world that love this program. And it's one thing for sure. We got an enemy. I don't know how they do it. The Taiwan people said, we don't understand. How do they get in to the system and mess up different things every week? It's always something different. Well, the televisions have been frozen more than one time, but only here, not the televisions out there. They get a signal off of the internet just like you do, but they freeze up, which means somebody is doing this evilly. with evil powers that has some kind of ability we don't understand. Time Warner says they cannot, they haven't been able to find it, but we are going to find it. I promise you, we're going to find it. We're going to get a technician right here on the job that can somehow read all of this stuff and tell us what's wrong, and we need you to carry a burden for it and to help us, okay? Now, don't forget, I'm preaching in the morning on the supernatural rapture. Wow, that is one great subject, the supernatural rapture. You don't want to miss that. Tomorrow night, we got four speakers. They'll be about 10 minutes each, and we're going to talk about how we know the rapture is imminent, that it could happen at any moment. It's about to take place. It's about to happen. Oh, what a day that's going to be. I'm here to tell you it's going to be a day. Now, you are special to me. The program next week is going to be about Benny Hinn. It's going to be an expose of Benny Hinn. I will be in Australia. But you will hear a program that is an expose that I did personally right here in our sanctuary. And you will hear things that will boggle your mind. You will hear Benny Hinn tell TBN that they're going to be a tube from heaven, and that people are going to be resurrected from the dead just by laying their hands on the TV when they're on the program. Of course, you know, some of those are dead now, and all of that has fallen through the cracks, and none of that happened, and we knew it wouldn't, but you will enjoy the expose. It's been on the YouTube for a while and had 50,000 viewers. I'm telling you, isn't God good? Isn't God good? Now, I love you, friends. You're special to us. I've enjoyed the broadcast. I really have. I'm going to share this program with, this sermon with you. This song with you again. I think you will love it. You are special. God bless you. Call us now, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884, and 704-391-0588. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. You are important. You are important. You know that. You know that I love you. You know how special you are.
Time to lift our voice. Sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust Him, come what may. God wants to hear you sing.
When the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see,
God wants to hear your voice.
When the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be, wants to hear you sing.
He loves to hear our praise on our cheerful days, when the pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when your circumstances is over.